You know, guys, it is Halloween, and what better person to talk to on Halloween but our friend Paul Preston? Because Paul is now going to give us
Pablo
the top five Halloween movies from Tinseltown. How you doing, Paul?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's top five movies of the horror genre for Tinseltown. Appreciated that super Hollywood guy voice.
You like that, don't you?
Still going. Keep going with it.
Isn't that good? Ladies and gentlemen, I can talk about all sorts of movies today. Carrie, The Fly, Get Out, The Evil Dead Movie, Scream, The Silence of the Lambs. There's so many great movies out there that you consider a horror film. But I've got five that I'm going to pick for my top five.
Woo!
Number five is Little Women.
What? Too early to keep this up. Too early to keep it up. I can't do it.
Breathe, Paul. Breathe.
All right, Paul. So what you got for us, buddy?
Well, I think you said bring a top 10. I said, tell you what, I'll bring a top five, and then you guys can all share with me because I'd like to hear your number ones at least.
Right.
But then I had a problem coming up with the top five because, I mean, I can't entirely – I'm kind of a product of my time. Like, my top four are all movies of my era.
Okay.
When I was a little older. But when I was a little younger is when some really great stuff came out. So I have a three-way tie for number five. Is that cheating? Have I cheated right out of the gate?
No.
Okay.
Sean, we'll allow it.
Sean's okay with three ways.
Yeah, I love three ways.
Hey, do it.
There you go. It's basically the 70s classics. It's the Halloween, The Exorcist, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
Because for me, Halloween is the best of the slasher movies. You Jason, your Freddy's and all that. It was not just, you know, a slasher movie, but it's, you know, like all franchises, it goes crazy over time, but the original is a bit of a masterpiece. So even just the credits alone from the pumpkin just getting closer and closer to the screen while the creepy John Carpenter music plays, I mean, that alone, I'm done. I'm like out of the beginning credits, and instead I have to sit there and watch more horror. You know, so that's up there. The Exorcist, of course, is like your thinking man's horror movie. Real psychological terror. Ellen Burstyn's performance says some daughter is possessed. She feels so helpless. Like, that's half the horror of the movie, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. One of the first movies to really vitally bring the devil
right
up to the forefront, you know. So that movie is amazing. And the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is just uncomfortable as hell.
There's a lot
of chainsawing
so
people,
true.
But the vibe is so unsettling. It's like nothing really you'll ever see. So,
have you seen the commercial for Geico?
Yeah, that's a great commercial.
Yeah.
Why can't we just get in the car that's running?
Why don't we go hide behind the chainsaws?
And that guy, the slightest little, like, nod of his head and the
shake
eye roll.
Like, oh, my God.
So funny.
Yeah, it's good.
But, if you know, people have tried to make a Texas Chainsaw remake and then sequels and then this other type of bit.
There's another one coming.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, well, you can't duplicate the low production value of the 70s movie. Anytime you add higher That's production true. Of these things, it just doesn't resonate the same. It's too clean, you know?
Yeah. It makes it creepier that it's all old and...
It does, because it's just like a stamp in time.
It is.
So any one of those and your night is one. But here's my top four I stand by as these are just my favorites.
All right.
Number four is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh. Yeah.
If you don't know... Yeah, research scientists in Alaska come across this shape-shifting monster. So right away,
Kurt Russell, baby.
Kurt, such a legend.
Oh,
right?
God, so good.
And
in that.
Like the heyday of Russell. I mean, unless you count like the Dexter Riley Disney movies, but the heyday was like those '80s Escape from New York, working with Carpenter, pretty much.
Yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China. So, so good, right?
Yeah.
But right away, you get the characters isolated, and that's creepy right out of the gate because they're. Like Antarctica or wherever they are, or Alaska.
Right.
And then there's a monster on the loose, and it's shape-shifting, so you never know what you're going to get when you see it. But half the horror of that movie is really good thrills put together by the relationships, because the characters don't know if one of their own is the shape-shifting monster in disguise. So the mood is constantly tense. The exchanges are heated. And then what I love, and this doesn't happen enough, John Carpenter just delivers the goods with The Thing.
Yeah.
You see it. It's huge and ugly and nasty and gross, and there's no like quick flybys or what was that? It's like, here's the thing, and it's
horrifying.
Just ugly and horrifying, and I just thought that was great.
I mean, it looks worse than Roseanne Barr.
It's a cryptid, right? I mean, so it's supposed to be a cryptid or whatever, like a shape-shifting paranormal, not what the thing is?
Is that what they came up with, a cryptid?
They call them a cryptid. A cryptid, technically. Is it an alien?
I thought it was an alien.
Yeah, I thought it was an alien.
I need to rewatch this one. Thank you, Paul, for this. I'm going to watch this one tonight.
Well, there you go. Rewatch it. You will not be disappointed. And for 82, And for 82, the effects were pretty impressive. You know, they were all practical. A lot of
And I got to say it again, but Kurt Russell's performance in that, man, just so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Kurt.
Yeah. He didn't fool around, you know? He played it, and he played it tough guy, but it was never like a joke, and he was never, you know, all those other... I mean, eventually he ended up in some dorky stuff like...
Tombstone.
Tango and Cash, you know, but... but he started out just playing tough guy and playing it straight and raising the stakes and, you know, committing to the wacky premises of some of those movies, but, I thought he was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Fast and the Furious, but it's awesome.
Number three for me, this is now, here's an example where after this first movie, eventually by the third, I saw less and less of the main character, whereas I loved seeing the thing. I'll explain in a second. Number three is Alien.
Oh yeah.
Now, Alien is a sci-fi movie, technically, yes, but that movie's frightening. And one of the best parts about it was, again, timing for me. The movie came out when I was 9. I didn't see it until it was on regular TV with commercials. Still scared the shit out of me. So that's testament funny. To how good it is.
And what really sucked is when it was on TV, they didn't even show Sigourney Weaver's butt crack. So disappointing.
The shame of that.
Damn, so disappointing.
That's the highlight of the movie.
Yeah.
Really, that is. I regret not bringing that up right away. But so why don't you go to Nashville for 2 months?
Uh-oh. No, you're right, Paul. That is such a good movie, and just the way that whole thing was put together, it's kind of like Jaws. You didn't see it the shark for some time. Same thing with the alien. You didn't see it for quite some time. You know.
Well, then as that franchise went along, James Cameron really delivered the Alien. Like, the effects improved so much in 7 years. And by Alien 3, David Fincher was doing, like, Alien POV shots, and you didn't see enough Alien. I was like, I need me Alien, because Cameron spoiled me, you know?
Right.
And so Alien and The Thing, when they both just deliver up the monster in its, you know, full glory, that's very, very satisfying. And, and there's a lot of quietness in Alien 2, which is good. You know, they say in space no one can hear you scream, and they take advantage of that silence. And then he'll turn right around and spring, like, long segments of just, like, hissing parts of the spaceship going with an alarm going. And you're just like, that gets unnerving, too. So you're like, good. Like, it's all kinds of terror built into that movie.
I feel like I was right there right now.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty good. I have to say something about these movies. Because it's me. In 1958, there was a movie called It, Terror from Beyond Space.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the movie the Alien is based on. And so that movie scared me really bad.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, the original The Thing, it was campy but funny, and there were some kooky characters in that. But those were the things that I experienced when I was young. So when these movies started to come back again, like they made Alien, they made The Thing again, I was like, I don't know.
I've seen this before. Is it really going to be?
And I tell you, they both were so much better than the originals. It was scary in that amount. But I really loved those movies when I was a kid. I was only 8 years old when I saw the original Alien.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask Paul a question real quick. Paul?
Yep.
What do we think of the Alien, the prequels that came out, the newer ones with Michael Fassbender?
Funny you should mention him, because he's my favorite part of this. The whole David conundrum of being this robot and feeling like he wants to play God was fascinating. Unfortunately, a lot of the Alien thrills in them, for me, I thought were pretty rudimentary.
Yeah.
But I think overall they're worth watching for Fassbender. I thought especially his relationship with Guy Pearce, was a Ryland, right? Was really cool.
I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
Also, watch the Prometheus over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof, oof.
I mean, it's the for lack of a better word, the abortion scene in that movie.
Oh, thank God. Oh.
Talk about uncomfortable. Good God.
Okay,
it's
moving on. Number
the alien abortion and expect any box office. So, Prometheus sounded good. Let's call it that.
Yeah. All right, number two now.
Well, you just mentioned it. Now, again, here's one where it's alien sci-fi and horror. Well, maybe, but here's one that may not be horror, but to me, this movie achieved something no other movie has ever achieved, and that is Jaws.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to tell you it's about the great white shark that attacks people in Amity, but this is a movie that changed people's lives.
It did.
This continues to keep people out of the water for decades.
That's
no
because
movie
it can
has
happen.
That effect.
No.
Yeah. No movie has that effect ever. It's a phenomenal achievement, and that makes it one of the greatest movies of all time. And I got to put at least number two on my list. Just, it's the most amazing movie ever made. People don't swim because of Jaws. A movie.
But if you do want to go to the Bahamas, don't take a plane because a great white shark is the fastest way to get to the Bahamas, though.
Oh, my God.
Listen, any lesser production would have made this a Monster of the Week movie, and some of the sequels were. You know, J.J. Abrams did a great TED Talk years ago. Did you see the one about the mystery box?
I haven't seen that one.
He was talking about a scene in Jaws where Brody, the beach is run amok, the shark's killing people, his job is on the line. He's just in a funk, and he sits down at the dinner table, and he folds his hands, rests his head on his hands, and he looks at his son, who does the same thing. So then he moves his hands, kids do the same thing. They play a little mirroring game.
Right,
and it kind of cheers up Brody for a second. And JJ said, listen, after Jaws, everybody wanted the next big monster movie. And they had The Swarm, they had Alligator, they had, you know, all these movies that followed in the wake of Jaws. But JJ said, you're not copying the right part of Jaws. That scene with Brody and his son, that's what you want to be imitating if you make a movie like Jaws, because that's what grounds it, that's what humanizes it, that's what makes it, makes you invest in it more than just here's a sitting there rooting for people to get killed. But so exceptional filmmaking coupled with just again a legacy of changing the decisions people make in their lives. I just think it's incredible. And Spielberg, of course, in prime form, iconic shots, amazing dialogue. You know all the lines from the movie. We're going to need a bigger boat. Yeah, I mean, it's a legendary film.
You know a movie is good when it creates a phobia or it really expands a phobia.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that came out, and, I mean, there were lines around the theaters when that thing came out, you know, and it was just freaking amazing. And, you know, to this day, it still stands true to everything. It's such a perfect movie.
It gives me shivers. I can't watch it. I watched when I was a kid. I cannot watch it anymore.
Now, do you know what they named the shark?
No.
I do.
Yes.
Go ahead, Zach.
Bruce.
And why did they name him Bruce?
Because he wanted to be Batman?
No.
What the fuck?
That was the name of Spielberg's attorney.
Oh,
all true.
That's funny.
That is funny.
And now when you watch Finding Nemo, the shark in his name is Bruce, which pays homage to Jaws.
Yeah.
And apparently that shark is at an auto repair shop in Sun Valley.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yeah, I got to get up there sometime and see it, but apparently it's just kind of sitting up there.
Sitting there,
like, look at it. It's like, all right, this is kind of legendary Hollywood.
All right, number one. We got to do a round robin here. What do you think number one is going to be, Steve?
What do you think it's going to be, or what is your personal?
Well, there's a couple I lean to, but I think The Omen was incredible.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was going to the good one.
Amber? You're looking at me to go next. Okay.
Amber?
I was still thinking about The Omen. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I grew up right next to a graveyard, so for me, Night of the Living Dead, the original one, messed me up.
Wow.
I still can't watch it. The part where the spine is just moving, that still I have nightmares about that. So that's one of mine.
Zach?
I'm going to say the original Nightmare on Elm Street, the very, very first one that actually had Johnny Depp in it. There's just parts of that. I mean, let's see. I think it came out, Paul, tell me if I'm right. I think it was like 84, 85?
It was early 80s, if not 84, 83.
Okay, so I probably wasn't born yet, but there were so many sequels after that. Growing up as a kid, my mom loved those. So I grew up with freaking Freddy Krueger's laugh, voice, everything. Even if I wasn't in the room, it just freaked me out.
Oh.
Yeah. Intern Christopher, do you have a movie?
No.
You pick a cartoon?
That
or?
Was a good movie.
Don't watch them. Okay, got it. For me, it's a tough one. You know, I kind of go back and forth between Little Women and Little Men.
You're never going to drop this shit, are you?
It's a funny joke.
I know it is.
The horror is that they've made Little Women like four times.
Oh,
and that's scary.
Like, have I not seen this already?
Yeah, that's scary.
The newest one was really good. Come on.
No, for me, God.
Okay, but wait a second. Jo just needs to make the choice to make herself happy. We spend the whole movie watching Jo make the wrong choices with her love life, and I just that's the real horror.
Like, come
make
on,
yourself
Jo,
happy. I can't watch your agony for 2 hours, Jo.
Yeah.
Because that's the facts of life.
Just kiss him. Just kiss him.
Oh my God.
And we're back. Okay. You know, you said one for me as a kid and being brought up Catholic. For me, The Exorcist was it, because it really messed with you. Because I think outside of The Omen too, I think it was one of the few that dealt with religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and coming into that whole thing of that the devil is real, kind of a thing.
He's watching you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is for me. So. Yeah,
it's all kind right. of been like ooh boogity boogity up till then, but then suddenly watching Reagan, the young girl, get torqued and twisted and punished, and the mom just tearing her hair out, and the priest being helpless, and like it's all just
and then her soul inside scratches "Help me" on her chest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like oh God,
Any good exorcism movies?
Yeah,
that's a good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Paul, what is it for you, buddy? You're number one.
Well, again, a product of timing, I go with the original Poltergeist.
Oh, yes.
Forgot about that.
No, yeah. I was thinking about that because the pool scene, the muddy pool, that forever messed me up.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Yes. I grew up next to a graveyard. I literally, you can see it from my bedroom window.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm messed up, okay?
In a lot of ways.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actual house is in Simi Valley. I went out there and visited it, so... it's this is the first time I think the ghost came to the suburbs, so that was cool. And plus, again, 1982, I was a wee pup, and I saw that, and both that and Alien sent me into my parents' room, you know, and I was like, is this going to kind of lie here next to you guys, because there's a monster in the television. You know?
Mom, Dad, quick, put Cheech and Chong on.
Oh, my God.